There's no darkness too great that your love cannot overtake. There is no stronghold too strong that your love cannot tear it down. There is a hope that's alive, and I feel it burning on the inside. There is a blood that's so cold. Oh, King of Kings, let your kingdom grow. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. Let all of the earth, all of creation praise his name. You are the God who restores. With just one word, the world was full. You are the Spirit whose light is breaking forth like the dawn from night. You are the one who holds the keys, and every battle is your victory. Yours is the blood that's overcome. King of kings, let your kingdom go. And let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. Let all of the earth, let all of creation praise his name. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of creation praise your name. Your light is brighter than the sun, stronger than the grave. Your love, your love has overcome the darkest of days. Your light is brighter than the sun, is stronger than the grave. Yes, it is. Your love has overcome the darkest of days. Let every heart, all of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. Let every heart, let every soul praise the Lord. Praise his name. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name.
Presence, Lord. Holy
sweet is the Lord. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, in your presence I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of joys. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. The glory of God is what our hearts long for, to be over by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence. Your presence, God.
The glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Oh,
Jireh, you are Come on, praise his name. Come on, lift up praises to the King, Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. We give glory to you today, Jesus. We say thank you, Lord, for your provision. We thank you, God, that you always come through. We thank you that you always see us through to the other side. You never leave us hanging. You never leave us behind, but you lift us up and you carry us forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh, we worship you today. We worship you today, Jesus. We love you today, Father. We give you glory. Shukaranda babaya santa. Blessed be the righteous name, Jesus. Shukuro santa rabashanda. Shandere babaya sandoro shabalabasi. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when Abraham went to sacrifice to the Lord, he took his son Isaac because God had commanded him. And Isaac carried the wood, and he said to his father, he said, Father, I see that we have the wood, but where is the sacrifice? Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, don't worry about it. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, Adonai Yireh, God will provide. And it says that when they got to the top of the mountain, Abraham was ready to give everything that God had promised him. And when he drew up the knife to make the sacrifice, it says that an angel stopped him, and God provided. The angel said, look here, and there in the bushes, there was a ram, a sacrifice. There was a sacrifice. Whatever it is that you need today, whatever it is that you have been asking the Lord for, whatever it is that you have been prepared to sacrifice, if you will trust the Lord, I can tell you today, God will provide. He is a provider. Come on, give him praise. Let's sing that one more time. Jireh. Hallelujah. To be in your presence, to lift up your name and to receive from your goodness, to receive your provision. Lord, we trust you today. We say yes, God, to you. We are willing to go the distance. Father, we are willing to make every sacrifice that you call us to make, and we trust that you will provide. In Jesus' mighty name, give him one more big hand of praise. Glory to Jesus. Be seated. It's so good to be here in the house of the Lord with you. We want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad you're here. If this is your first time with us, please visit us in the foyer at the Welcome Center after the service so that we can give you a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop Church. If you're watching in, if you're tuning in online, thank you for joining us. And at this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. You can also do so on our website. If you're writing a check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. And we welcome you to come forward at this time to drop your offerings in the buckets. God bless you as you give. A special guest with us this morning. I want to go ahead and welcome to the stage Pastor Bernie Hurdle. Pastor Bernie, many of you know, is faithful to this house, and he carries an anointing with him for preaching. And I love hearing him preach. He's a man of God, faithful to the Lord. He's been serving God for many, many years, and we are so blessed to have him to be a part of Carpenter Shop International Church. Would you give a warm welcome to Pastor Bernie Hurdle?
Let the church say amen. Amen. Let the church say amen again. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be here today. Amen. It's good to be on top side. It's good. I'm above ground today, and I thank God for that. I take nothing for granted. I thank God that he has allowed me to stand before you today. I've come to understand and know that not by my power, nor by my might. God told Zerubbabel and Zechariah 4, but it's by his spirit. And I thank God for his spirit today moving in my life, because without him, I am simply nothing. I'd be like a ship on the ocean without a sail, wind to push me along, even a rudder to guide me. I'd be just drifting around on life, and I don't want to be drifting around. I want to be led by God. But the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by God, and I'm not just any man. I'm wonderfully, marvelously made by God. And I thank God that, you know, I don't look like what I've been through. I might look kind of bad to y'all, but you know what? If my wife and Doris, I came up here looking like what we've been through, it would take a train hauling junk. But we choose not to look like what we've been through. Because when you've been through what God allowed you to go through, I don't know where you've seen molten steel, but that slag, that dross that rolls off, and what's left behind is pure gold. I don't know about you today, but I'm a golden child. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a child of the King. Woo! Hallelujah! I don't know about you, but I'm always just grateful and thankful for what God has done. Woo! Pastor Mike, when God had allowed you to live to be almost 70 years old, you've been through some stuff. Been through some stuff, seen some stuff. And I'm grateful for today. I thank Pastor Wallace for allowing me to have this opportunity to stand before you, his flock, for me to stand before y'all today. And I pray for him and Miss Joy today, wherever they are. God would bless them and follow them to keep their hands upon them. I'm not going to keep you long today. I'm not a long-winded preacher, because if I do preach too long, the wonderful lady that God gave me, she's sitting right there. We had this sign language that she lets me know when I'm going too long is called knots in her forehead. I get a glimpse of those knots, it's time to sit down. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. While it's fresh on my mind, if the praise team would come up, not now, but later on. But in his presence, can y'all do that one more time later on? All right. All right. Well, I'm going to move right along today. Like I say, when God has allowed you to live to be almost 70, you realize you got more years behind you than you have doing in front of you. And as we get older, the Bible tells us that young men are for war and old men are for counsel. Maybe I need to share part of my life to help some young person today and to encourage some of us Christians to be Christians and not just churchgoers. The Bible tells us to be, we're to read the word, but we're supposed to be doers of the word. And that's the hard part when the rubber meets the road. You ever hear an airplane when it lands and the wheels touch down, they go, screw. This is the way life is for a Christian. When you begin to walk the walk, anybody can talk the talk. But when you got to walk the walk, you're going to hear some squeaking sounds. And I can tell you, they all won't be pleasant. But today, those of you who have your books, your Bible, your sword in your hand, or your devices, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I'm beginning reading at the sixth verse from the NIV Bible. And it reads, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written," this is my key verse, "no eyes have seen, nor ear have heard, nor mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us in his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." Let us bow our heads. Our God and our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, it's preaching time. And Lord, your manservant stand before your people trembling inside. And God and I go behind the cross and hide, that it be with all of you and none of me. May the Holy Spirit have his way in me and through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to use for a subject today, and I'm going to explain the subject so you don't get lost in it. I'd like to use for a subject today, "Do you see what I see? God moving in me." Turn to your neighbor and ask him, "Do you see what I see?" You sound a little weak. "Do you see what I see? God moving in me." When I went to seminary, I have a dear friend named Jeff Knox. He said the seminary is a place where preachers go so they can kill us. Well, there might be a little bit of truth to that, but when I was in seminary in homiletics class, anybody here know what homiletics class is? Well, the homiletics class says that they say they don't try to tell you how to preach, but reality, they do. But in this particular class, we had to preach a 3 to 5 minute sermon, Brother Hardy, a 3 to 5 minute message. In this 3 to 5 minute message, we had to exhaust the text. But the interesting thing about this was that he said we're to never use a subject that asked a question. Well, yours truly was being defiant. I was being defiant not just because I want to be defiant, but the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me gave me the message. After I'd done my 3 to 5 minutes, he said, you take a seat. He said, at the end of the semester, I want you to preach again because you didn't exhaust the text. You didn't exhaust the text, and you used a subject that asked a question. Yes, sir. Took my seat. Are y'all with me today? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere today, and I want to take you with me. So at the end of the semester, he gave me notice you to preach again. And I want you to remember, don't use a subject that asks a question. And I want you to exalt this text. Yes, sir. My next night to preach, 3 to 5 minute message. Yours truly stood up and defined again. Do you see what I see? I saw the Holy Spirit moving inside of me. I use another subject that asked a question. Whether it exhausted the text to him or not, I really didn't care. When I got through preaching, he said, have a seat. He said, you done it again, didn't you? I said, what's that? He said, you use a subject to ask the question. You didn't exhaust the text. I said, I beg to differ. My boss is a man from Galilee, and his name is Jesus. He tells me what to preach, and you don't. He said, have a seat. I went home that night. I told my wife, I said, I think I'm through. She said, what's wrong? I said, I think I'm already flunked out. But when it was all said and done, I got an A in the class. Because I'd done what God said do, not what man said do. If you remember when the apostles had been thrown into jail for preaching God's gospel, they let them out, said, but don't go preaching this gospel anymore. So when they got out, they asked one another, what are you going to do? You going to obey God or you going to obey man? We obey God. That's who we obey. Do you see what I see in the midst of everything that goes on around us in this world today? When you turn the TV on, all the troubles you see, all the arguing you see, all the shooting and cussing and fussing that's going on, it makes you wonder, where is God? But I'm like the psalmist David said in Psalms 23, Psalms 27 and 13. The psalmist David said he had almost fainted had he not seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But I want to stop by today to let you know I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. ABC, NBC, CBS, NBC, and all them others can do what they want to, say what they want to. But I declare the goodness of the Lord is still standing. It's still standing today. He'll stand today. And tomorrow he'll stand forevermore. The goodness of the Lord. Yes, sometimes I'm like David, I want to faint. Not because I don't see goodness. I want to faint because I see the stupidity of the matter. I'm going to call it what it is. It's stupid that people have ignorance in their heart, have hatred in their heart. It is bad. It is sad. But we as Christians, we're supposed to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And then that Jesus Christ reigns and rules over this world. Do you see what I see today? When I was 14 years old, I was raised in a Methodist church. Yes, a Methodist church. It wasn't Pentecostal, but if you passed by, you would have thought Pastor Mike was a Pentecostal church because the people were praising and worshiping. There was no air conditioning in the building. In the summertime, they heist the window and put the little slide-out screen in. But you could hear the people praising from miles away. They'd be singing, "Look back, and I look back and wonder how I got over." They'd be singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me a time." Oh, yes, it was sweet times then. When I was 14 years old, the pastor met me at the door one Sunday. He said, "Young man, don't you want to be a preacher?" I said, "No. Ain't gonna happen. Do you see what I see?" As time went on, we lived down a dusty dirt road in Belvedere. See, the time when I come along there, the road wasn't paved. No air conditioning in the building, but my dad, he was the section, they call him the section in the church where he took care of the church, he kept it clean, but it was really my older brother, myself, and my next oldest brother, we had to clean the church, Pastor Mike. Abdul, we had to go in and clean the church, and I remember that I told the pastor, "Ain't been no preacher." But we would go into church and we're supposed to be cleaning up the church. But I would go up there to the podium like I am now. And then they kept the Bible there and it was closed when there was nobody there. But I would flip that Bible open and I began to mock the preacher, Pastor Mike. I began to mock the preacher. I'd rear up on my tiptoes like this and Mama could hear me across the road, and every once in a while, Mom would come over and she'd swap me between my shoulder blades with that broom. I said, "Boy, what do you think you're doing?" "So you playing with God's gospel." She said, "You keep it up if you want to, but one day," back then they called it the Holy Ghost. She said, "The Holy Ghost is going to get a hold of you one of these days, and he's going to change you." Lo and behold, here's the product. One day, the Holy Ghost came into my life. You see, I was brought up in a Methodist church. But later on, after we got married, I joined a Baptist church. They asked me to be a deacon in the Baptist church. Come on, go with me now. I became a deacon in a Baptist church. And after a while, that tugging that had been in my heart, Pastor Ted, kept on nudging and nudging to one Sunday night. Do you see what I see? One Sunday night, I was sitting there in the house and my wife looked at me and the tears began to roll. She said, "Honey, what's wrong?" I couldn't even explain myself. And she began to realize and understand what was happening. She came over and put an arm around me for 3 nights. Pastor Mike, Pastor Ted, we cried for 3 nights, realizing what was going on, that God was making me, that he was breaking me, he was fixing me, he was preparing me to go out into the hedges and the highways. And it was like a microwave thing, because something on the inside began to show up on the outside. And it began to change my whole life until I couldn't take it. And finally I had to give in. And I went to the deacon's meeting on Wednesday night. And I told the pastor, I said, "Look, God's called me to preach." And he said, "I already knew it, but I will wait for you to say something." Do you see what I see? Do you see God moving? And I began to wonder, "Lord, what did I do now?" Well, I had joined that church, but I went back down on another Sunday to the altar. You wonder what the deacon going down there for? He done joined the church, done been baptized. I went down after service. I told the pastor, I said, "Look, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." He said, "Will you join church?" I said, no, you don't understand. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." He didn't know what to do. But I went to a meeting one night. Do you see what I see? I went to a house meeting one night. And in that house meeting, they began to lay hands on me. I found myself slain in the spirit. I got up speaking in tongues. I got up. God had endued me with power. From that day on, my life got changed again. Until right now in this life of mine, in my brokenness, I preached a message a while back, Pastor Ted, that there's beauty in my brokenness. Yes, I might walk with this cane, but guess what? There's beauty in my brokenness because God fixed me this way. Doris and I had a chance some years ago to visit the White House. You know what the White House got to do with this message? You're going to see what I see in a minute. We had an opportunity to visit the White House. And when we went down to a certain level, there were some steps that went up. The guard looked at me and said, "Can you make those steps?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I don't even want you to even try." I said, "Come go with me." So he took Doris and I. There was a white lady in a chair and another person. We were the only four allowed to go. But he took us to an elevator. And he carried us down into the basement of the White House in Washington, D.C. He took us past the executive chef kitchen. And down there, there were people dressed like Rambo that had all kind of weapons strapped to them. But you know what? I wouldn't have gotten gone had not been for my brokenness. There's beauty in my brokenness because he think I couldn't make the steps. I got to see some things that other people didn't see. I don't take God for granted. Even through pains and sufferings, you got to press on to see what the end going to be. Amen. Pastor David asked me Thursday night, "When you going to quit working that regular job and do full-time ministry?" I said, "I got a full-time ministry out there on that job. I do. I got people out there that don't go to church. Don't want to talk about God. But I know one thing, I got a target on my back. I got to preach out there every once in a while, use words. But in my movement, in my being, I've got to preach." So God has been good to this man. He's been far better to me than I've been to myself. I want to encourage somebody today that when you go through trials, tribulation, and suffering, smile while you're going through. Me and Miss Doris walking here every Sunday, smiling because of God's goodness, because of his grace that endured through all generations. In the book of Titus, it said that God's grace is given freely to anyone that would accept it. Anybody can have it. Don't cost you a thing in the world. But I'll stop by to tell you that God's grace is sufficient. He's sufficient for you. He's sufficient for me. So the Bible says that eyes have not seen, nor ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. I love God. I love God with all my mind, heart, and soul. I love him. I love him because he first loved me. John 3:16 said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who will believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I don't know about you, but one day, I want to see the king. I want to see the king. Even in this life, I'm a product of the civil rights movement. Yes, I is. Yes, I is. That ain't good English, but yes, I is. I really is because Martin Luther King's way of doing things was a peaceful way. It was a loving way. And yours truly had a chance to stand in his presence. That king. But I want to go see the king. I want to go see Jesus Christ, the head of my life, the one who paid my sin debt. I don't carry his rugged cross on Golgotha Hill with his own precious blood. I'm bought with a precious price. And you are too. Because God is good, and he's good all the time, not because Bernard Raver Hurdle's good, simply because he is good. People ask me sometimes, say, don't it bother you? You were an associate pastor for 7 years at First Assembly in Eatonton. Don't it bother you just sitting in the audience? Don't bother me a bit. Don't bother me a bit. I'm just as comfortable there as a rat is in a cheese house. I'm just as comfortable there because when it's my time, God would let me know, just like it's today. Ordained from God down through Pastor Wallace, I stand here today. And there's a book, there's in Proverbs, it says that, let me get my right text, Proverbs 18 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The gifts that God give us is not for us. It's for God's glory. Amen. To be used for his glory. And his glory only. He gets the glory. I'm just here today. I'm just a live human breathing vessel today with blood flowing warm in my veins. It's for God's glory. I don't do anything for my glory. Bernard, don't get any glory. I don't get into glory. Somebody asked me, what's my job at work? I said, I'm the blame taker. I get the blame for everything and credit for nothing. But that's good too, as long as it's pleasing to God's eyesight. I go to the job because in the book of Proverbs said that he that keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, and he that honor his master shall be blessed. I want to be blessed and want to be fed too. So I'm attending that fig tree called a job right now. Until God says no. When God wants me to leave, he'll tell me when to leave. People say, when are you going to retire? I say, I don't know, but I'm going to just see how this story ends. That's my thing. I want to see how the story ends because God's all in it. I've been there almost 31 years and poured out a number of blessings since I've been there. Has it been easy? No. Because even Thursday night, talking to Abdul, he said, your week been good? I said, been good. I said, but. He said, what's the but? I said, I got to go to work Saturday. God in his permissive will allowed a distraction to come, Pastor Mike, because God knew Satan knew that I was going to preach today, and Satan didn't want me to say what I got to say. So he figured if he'd get my mind all messed up, that he would have me. But I got news for him. I'd done something to him yesterday morning. I got up. Yeah, I got up, and I pray. I pray every day. Let me tell you something. That's my biggest job of the day is praying. Before I leave the house, that's my job. To spend time with God. I told Abdul the other Saturday, sometime it's 25, 30 minutes before I come out. I go in my secret closet called the bathroom. And that's where me and God meet early in the morning. I talk with him. And you know what else? After then, Satan can bring on what he wants to bring. But God is in the mix. That's what you got to do. You got to put God first in everything. You got to put him first in everything. So yesterday morning, you know what? I didn't want to go to work, but I went anyhow. And I went with a smile on my face. My wife called me about 10 o'clock. She said, honey, I noticed you didn't eat no Cheerios this morning. I didn't eat them Cheerios because God gave me a different kind of Cheerios yesterday morning. He gave me the power of the Holy Spirit that sent me out of the house with a pleasant smile on my face. I'm going out, I'm going to please the master, but most of all, I went out to please God by doing what the master on earth wanted me to do. And I'll stop by today to let you know that when you be filled with the Holy Spirit, it changes everything about you. Jesus told his disciples, I'll not forsake you nor leave you, but I will send the paraclete, the helper, to help you. I'm getting ready to close out now. But do you see what I see? God moving in our lives. I don't care what them folks on TV think. You know, you can turn it off. It ain't gonna stop the world from whirling. The world gonna whirl anyway. It's gonna do what they do, whether you turn it off or not. So you might as well look at it and pray about it. What's going on. You know, I want to share this with you. You don't see what I see. I want to share this, that we went to a graduation a few years ago over in Pequimans County. My niece was graduating. And in the background, You can hear the thunder roaring. You can see the lightning flash. And the people begin to hurry up the speakers out there on that football field. And they decided, well, we're going to rush all through it, and we're going to let you go. Well, the lightning got more intense. The thunder got a little louder. Somebody help me here. Somebody praying for me now. It got a little louder. And then those big raindrops, one here, one there. And they told us we need to leave the stands. My wife will remember this. God's moving, church. I looked to my right, and now they had to go down amongst all those people. I said, honey, you go ahead with the family. She said, where are you going? I see an open door. She said, what open door? Don't worry about it, honey. Just go with the family. I'll be all right. No, I said, go with the family. I'll be all right. I looked down the bleachers, and right by the fence, there was an open gate. I looked across the football field. There's another open gate on that side of the field. This is the Holy Spirit working inside of me. I said, honey, you go ahead. I'll see you at the car. I made my way best I could down those steps. I was going down the steps. I said, Lord, be with me. I went through that first open gate. When I got through that open gate, I looked across the football field. Here come two of those John Deere Gators coming across that field to pick me up. One lady told the other lady, I got him. She said, no, I got him. I said, I don't care which one of you come, one of you get me. It don't matter. But I looked. Had not been for the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me, I wouldn't have known to do that. I couldn't have done that on my own power and might. There's no way I would have thought to do that. But when I got to the car, guess what? My wife wasn't at the car, but I was in the car. She said, how do you get here so quickly? I said, swing down, sweet chariot, and stop and let me ride. Gave me a ride to my car. Didn't let me get wet. Didn't let me suffer. Didn't let a lightning bolt hit me. But I'll stop by today to let you know that when God comes into your life, when you let him in, when you let him do what he wants to do in your life, he'll change your mind about some of the things you want to do on your own power. I want to let you know you don't have no power to do you any good. You can go to every seminary you want to. Be defined like I was because the Holy Spirit spoke. Took control of my life. I have two of the most beautiful daughters in the world as far as I'm concerned. They said, Dad, you got the craziest faith I ever seen in my life. I said, you thank God for my crazy faith because it's keeping you alive. My crazy faith. Do you see what I see? Do you see God moving? I thank God for Jesus. Come, will y'all come back up one more time? Praise team. You know, Doris and I, we love this place. Thursday night, a gentleman from First Assembly told Abdul, said, the gentleman walked up to me and said, we sure do miss you. Abdul said, you can't have him back. There's something wonderful about the Carpenter Sharp Church. It's unique. It's different in a great way, in a godly way. We came here, we're not members here. But Pastor Wallace has allowed us to partake here. Y'all have allowed us to partake. I'm just so grateful, and I'm thankful. But that song is precious. What a plan. If there's anybody here today, I know my message. Strange title. Do you see what I see? If you don't see God moving in your life, I'm going to challenge you to come down to this altar today where somebody will lay hands on you. Can I ask the prayer team to come up? If you're here today and you don't feel God moving in your life, you need a touch from the Lord. I don't preach about things I don't know. I've been through some of these things. I'm still learning. I'm almost 70 years old, but I'm still learning. But I do know that when God's touch will change your life, you don't need to sit still today. You don't need to be ashamed. If you don't feel like God is moving in your life, today is your day. The Bible says, seek him while he may be found. Today, the Spirit is moving in this house. Church. Your presence. Ooh. out your presence.
Let us be
come. Oh, your presence. Your presence is what we need. Right here today, yeah. Lord, Lord, your presence, your presence. Yeah, yeah. Aware of your presence. God be the glory. Amen. Abdul don't know it yet, but he's kind of like my armor bearer here. Thank you, Abdul.
Amen. Thank you.